It's good to see you each here this morning. We greet you each in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask now for our pastor, our brother, Apostle Dwayne Ely, your careful, your prayerful attention as he brings to us the message this morning.
Thank you, Don. It's good to see each one of you here this morning, and it's good to be here with you. You know, I think most of us like getting a good deal. We like getting things on sale. If we go to a baseball game and they've got free fireworks, I mean, it makes us feel good, doesn't it? Getting something for free. Or if you buy something in the store and there's some other little product taped on the side, you're getting something extra for your money. Well, actually, I have a deal for you this morning. You came here expecting to hear a sermon. And actually, I have two sermons this morning. A good deal, right? Some of you may not think so. You may be skeptical. But my first sermon should be fairly short. And I want to talk a little bit first about the current events today, the things that are going on in the world. And there are just a lot of problems and turmoil in the world today. We have, obviously, we're at war with Iraq, and there's problems with Iran and Venezuela and Afghanistan and Bolivia and North Korea and Russia. For a long time, Russia seemed to be one of our allies, but now it appears that that's not so. And I even read in an article in Time magazine about Russia, and it says the bear is out of hibernation. That's a warning to us. Beware of that bear. We're going to hear more about him as time goes on. Unrest in the governments of Kenya and now Honduras. Lots of problems over there. Persecution of our brothers and sisters in foreign lands. We're not seeing that because of our religious beliefs generally. Some of those people are persecuted greatly because they believe in Jesus Christ. It seems like there have just been many things that have been happening. Financial problems, temporal problems, spiritual problems, physical problems. Look at all the physical problems we've had in this local in the last year or two. It's incredible. We have two people in the hospital right now. Holly's in the hospital and Chandra's in the hospital. More problems. And I know that we always have problems. I mean, we've been told that. The scriptures tell us that we're going to have trials and things in our life. But this seems different. This is different somehow, the things that we have today. The economy, it's in a terrible mess. I know several years ago I was talking to a friend of mine and he was talking about retirement, and he was, you know, talking about where he was going to put his money, you know, and he was going to put it in some place really safe, you know, where he wouldn't have to worry about it. Well, he was talking about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Kind of quasi-governmental businesses started by the government, kind of thought to be about the safest place anywhere. What happened to him? Debt. The government took them over. The five largest investment banks, thought to be safe. Bear Stearns collapsed in March. Lehman Brothers, it's a 158-year-old company, filed for bankruptcy on September 15th. Merrill Lynch was acquired by Bank of America just recently. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, they're just hanging on by a thread. The AIG, I understand maybe it's the largest insurance company conglomerate in the world. It was collapsing. The government loaned them $85 billion to try to keep them going. Washington Mutual, which I think they said that was the largest bank to ever collapse, collapsed this week. A couple weeks ago. You know, I mean, the whole financial system almost melted down. It almost collapsed. The government is working on a $700 billion bailout right now to try to get the banks going again and loaning money. But, you know, we have all these financial problems. Can somebody tell me why we're having these financial problems? In one word, greed. Absolutely, 100%. It is greed. This is why we are having these financial problems today. Greed is a selfish desire to acquire wealth or possessions beyond the needs of the individual. That's what we are seeing. Who's to blame? Lots of people are to blame. Lending agencies, banks, the government, real estate market, subprime loans, speculators, corrupt business practices. But it's also the average American who was going down to take out a loan on a house that they could not afford. They wanted to have this great big house. They knew they couldn't afford it. And some of those people were duped into thinking they could afford it maybe, but it was greed. They were wanting something that they really couldn't afford. Now they can't pay for it. These people are putting God are not putting God first. They're putting themselves first and not God. And it's just some of the evidence that we have that this nation is turning away from God, and along with the other spiritual declines that we have seen in recent times. You know, in Matthew 24, 6 and 7, it talks about wars, rumors of wars, nations rising against each other, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, all these things. And we know that these lists, you know, generally in the scriptures we see a list like this. It's not an all-inclusive list, is it? It's examples of things that are happening. But it says also in that same scripture, "See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Be ye not troubled. Are we troubled? Christ tells us not to. These are Christ's words. Do we trust him? Do we completely trust him? So why are we seeing these problems? What's it mean to us? What's it mean that we should be doing? I think one thing is to prepare us for things that are to come. God is preparing us. And only God will be able to see us through. I hope we can see that. That it's only God. It's not going to be the financial systems. It's not going to be the money in your bank. It's not going to be the federal government. It's only going to be God. To help us to draw closer to God. We know in tough times that people tend to draw closer to God. The humblest. I think it's also to help us to draw closer to our brothers and sisters. To have a greater love for them, a greater concern for them. To be more dependent on our brothers and sisters. and less dependent on the things of this world. Because someday we may not be able to depend on any of those things of this world. And I think also to let us know that we need to be separating ourselves from the world. And even more so in the future. To separate from the things of this world. To help us to prepare for the things that are coming. And I don't know what the results of this financial crisis is going to be. If you look at the charts, it goes up and down like this. This one is a little bit different, unless you go clear back to the Depression. We may come out of it fine and go on. But I think we need to take a lesson from it, that to be aware, to be prepared, and to remember Christ's words, see that ye be not troubled. And I know it's not always easy, but he has promised to be there for us and to provide for our needs. He knows what they are. And he will be there for us. That was your bonus sermon. Now it's time for the regular one. That only took 10 minutes. That's not too bad. The topic of my sermon today is communication. And I can assure you that my wife hopes that I listen to this very closely. And hopes that maybe I will be able to learn something from this. Because I'm not always a good listener. Sometimes in our conversations, she will say, "Do you remember I said this?" And I don't remember she said that. I don't even remember the conversation. That's not good, is it? Not good listening skills. You know, everything communicates. All creatures communicate. The animal kingdom has many ways to communicate. If you're walking down a path and you see a 10-foot-high grizzly bear standing on its hind legs and roaring, that's communication, isn't it? You understand clearly that it's not happy and to watch out. You see a rattlesnake coiled up. And its tail's rattling. It's communication, isn't it? You know that there's danger there. It's warning you. Bees. They communicate. When bees discover a source of nectar, they reveal its location to the other bees on returning to the hive. They communicate the distance to the source by means of a dance. The direction is indicated by the angle of the axis of the dance and the amount of nectar by the vigorousness of the dance. And I'm sure these little bees, when they find the mother load of nectar, I'm sure they're really dancing up a storm when they come back. But those bees understand that. It's clear communication. You know, we learn communication skills from birth, don't we? Babies, they can't talk, but they know how to communicate, don't they? You know, when they're happy, they'll be laying there smiling and cooing. But what happens when they're not happy? They don't just lay there, do they? They communicate. They cry or scream. They get our attention. When they're unhappy, when they're sick, when they want something. When they need a new diaper, they let us know And then it's our job to find out what the problem is. You know, there's many ways to communicate today with all our modern technology. You know, we have oral and written word, which we've had for millennia. There's some 3,000 languages and major dialects that are spoken in the world today. Some of the earlier methods of communication, there was drum beats and fire, smoke signals, instruments such as ram's horns, homing pigeons, messengers, postal service, sign language. You know, we think of the modern postal service. They had a postal service thousands of years ago. The Romans had a postal service. Messengers, even before that. Communication. Our modern communication. No end to it, is there? Newspapers, photographs, telegraph, magazines, telephone, radio, television, computers, internet, email, fax machines, cell phones, satellite phones, text messaging, and even occasionally talking face to face. It's funny, at work, most of my business is not done face to face. It's through email, it's through telephone, cell phone, fax machine. Majority of it is not face to face. We have a lot of methods of communication. Lots of them. So why do we often do such a poor job at it? I want to divide my sermon into three parts. These first two I will cover fairly quickly, and the last one I will spend the majority of my time on. The first one is how we communicate to each other. And communicate, the definition of the word is to impart knowledge of, make known, to give to another, impart and transmit, to give or interchange thoughts, information, or the like, by writing, speaking, etc. You know, I think one of our problems with communication is just the lack of it. To not have enough communication. To not work things out. To not solve things. To let things build up or let things ride. Instead of trying to work through things. I want to start in Colossians chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. We have to be very mindful of our communication in our families. You know, a lot of times, our communication is not always what we say. It's not the words we say. It's the body language or the tone of our voice. Whether there's love in our voice or whether there's anger in our voice. And it's important in our families that we communicate and that we do it in a godly manner. And that we do work out problems and come to an understanding. In Ephesians 4:15, it says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Speak the truth in love. You know, sometimes the truth is not what people want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth because the truth hurts sometimes. The truth is hard to take sometimes. I know it's a common thing at my place of business, and it's a common place all over the world, is that supervisors don't really do their job the way they should because they don't want to have a confrontation. They don't want to tell this person they're doing something wrong. So they don't handle it. They don't take care of it. That's very common. In giving reviews, probably almost universally, they give the person a better review than what they really deserve. They don't want to deal with it. Don't want to deal with the problem. Don't want to deal with the person coming back and saying, well, you know, I don't agree with that. But that's part of communicating. Speaking the truth in love. And to be able to do it in a calm and loving manner. Is she speaking the truth in love? And we have to be a good listener. That's part of it. And I need to work on this. You can ask my wife. Is to focus when we're having a conversation, to focus on the conversation. And that seems to be hard for me to do because I have a lot of things going through my mind. And I have a hard time focusing sometimes on one thing. And I know it's something I need to work on. But we need to listen. We need to hear what the other person has to say. And then respond in that calm and loving manner. And not get angry. You know, anger will destroy almost every conversation. And then it's hard to recover, isn't it? It's hard to get back to square one. The second part, how do we communicate to God? And there's one very obvious answer, isn't there? And that is prayer. Let's look at Moroni 7:26. And assuredly, as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, whatsoever things ye ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. What a wonderful promise that is to us, that when we are praying, in faith believing, and it says, which is good, that you will receive those things. Prayer is something we need to do continually in our life. One of our best ways to communicate to God. But you know, there's other ways to communicate too, to God. By us being here today, we're communicating to God, aren't we? We're telling him that we have a desire to serve him and to follow after him and a desire to hear his word. By the things we do in our life, we are communicating to God. By our service, by our works, good or bad, we're communicating to God. We're telling him our willingness to follow after him and to serve him. How we live our lives every day, we are communicating to God. And the third section, which is the one I want to spend the most time on, is how does God communicate to us? There are many ways He communicates to us. The first one is through physical examples. Things we can see. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, we read, "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Obviously, because of their sin, Adam and Eve had been thrown out of the garden. And they were not allowed back in there. This was pretty clear communication from God, wasn't it? Pretty clear communication. That they were not allowed to go back in there again. A visual thing that they could see. Let's look at Alma chapter 16, verses 59 to 62. It's on page 414. This is the story of Korihor. In previous verses, it calls him an antichrist. He preached that there would be no Christ, an enemy to the church, an enemy to God. "Therefore, if thou shalt deny again, behold, God shall smite thee, that thou shalt become dumb, that thou shalt never open thy mouth any more, that thou shalt not deceive this people any more. Now Korihor saith unto him, I do not deny the existence of a God, but I do not believe that there is a God. And I say also that ye do not know that there is a God. And except ye shew me a sign, I will not believe." He wanted a sign. God gave him one, didn't he? "Now Alma saith unto him, This will I give unto thee for a sign, that thou shalt be struck dumb, according to my words. And I say that in the name of God, that ye shall be struck dumb, that ye shall no more have utterance. Now when Alma had said these words, Korihor was struck dumb, that he could not have utterance according to the words of Alma." He was struck dumb, never spoke again. Said he went about from house to house begging for food. He was killed a few verses later. A sign from God. Clear communication, wasn't it? To him and to those about him. And you know, we don't really hear about these things today. But you know what? I think as time goes on, I think we will. I think we're going to see these types of things again as an example. As a physical example that people can see the power of God. Through preaching. God communicates to us through preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." You know, to many, preaching seems like a foolish thing. I can assure you, many of the people I work with would think this was a foolish thing. To be here wasting your time. But it's something established by God to save souls of men. As we come here, to read the words of God from the Bible and the Book of Mormon. The words that He has given us that we need for our salvation. The next one is calling ministry. Acts 13, 1 through 3. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And if we go to, we won't turn to it, but in Acts 14:14, it tells the office they were called to. They were called to be an apostles. God speaking, communicating, setting aside these men to be apostles. And obviously, still going on today. God is still calling ministry. He's still communicating with us. And obviously that's something we need to continue to pray for. The calling of ministry. For there's so many congregations that do not have a minister. So we need to put those things in God's hands. The next ones, I've kind of got two of them combined here. The words of Christ and the Holy Ghost. These are both covered in one scripture. In 2 Nephi, chapter 14, verses 4 through 6. This is on page 163. "Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do." We are to feast upon these words in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. They were given to us for a wise purpose, weren't they? Many of these things were written many thousands of years ago. But God knew that we would need them today. And He preserved them. And we have them. His words. Words that came by the inspiration of God. Our communication. He's given us His words, His commandments, the things that we must follow after to obtain salvation. The next one is angels, which are messengers. Let's look at 1 Nephi chapter 3, 54 through 58. It's on page 28. "And it came to pass that I saw the heavens open, and an angel came down and stood before me, and he saith unto me, Nephi, what beholdest thou? And I saith unto him, A virgin, most beautiful and fair above all other virgins. And he saith unto me, Knowest thou the condescension of God? And I said unto him, I know that he loveth his children. Nevertheless, I do not know the meaning of all things. And he said unto me, Behold, the virgin which thou seest is the mother of the Son of God, after the manner of the flesh. Verse 62. And the angel said unto me, Behold, the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father. We see here an angel came down and gave a prophecy, didn't he? Of the coming of Jesus Christ. God sent his Son to this earth that he could preach the truth, that he could set up the gospel. And he talked to many people face to face, didn't he? Face to face. What a wonderful experience that would have been. But we will all have that opportunity someday. Each one of us will have that opportunity to see him face to face. The next one is the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Special gifts that God gives to mankind from time to time at his will. But it's a communication to us. As he's giving these men special abilities. Special abilities. That they will be able to help everyone else. By using these gifts that God has given to them. They will be able to help and uplift those around them. God speaks to our mind. That's the next one. Let's turn over to Enos 1, verses 12 through 14. On page 194. Now it came to pass that when I had heard these words, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brethren, the Nephites. Wherefore I did pour out my soul unto God for them. We see Enos was concerned about his brothers and sisters. Concerned about them, pouring out his heart to God. And while I was thus struggling in the spirit, behold, the voice of the Lord came into my mind again, saying, I will visit thy brethren according to their diligence in keeping my commandments. We see it says, the voice of the Lord came into my mind. That's something that we need to always be aware of, and to understand that voice when it's speaking to us, because it can speak to different people different ways. But we need to be perceptive to that, and know when that voice is speaking to us, and understand what it's saying, and to follow after it. I know we've heard testimonies of people who have heeded that voice, and it's protected them, hasn't it? They were told to go a different direction, but there was danger there. Or we have stories of people who haven't heeded that voice and had problems. We need to be aware of that voice and how God speaks to us. One of the very important ways that He communicates to us, in that still, small voice. Let's look in Luke chapter 24, 44 and 45. And He said unto them, and these are Christ's words, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." He opened their minds, that they might have an understanding of what they read. And I know many of the things they did not understand, did they? But God can reveal these things to us. He can give us that understanding if we diligently pray for it. But that's one way He communicates to us, is to give us that ability that we might be able to understand, that we might be able to know what He is saying, what He is telling us. The next one is prophecy. And prophecy means to foretell events by divine inspiration. In Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." A prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. We have many prophecies in the Scriptures. We have prophecies today, don't we? And I know as time goes on that the Lord will continue to speak to us, to give us directions for the time that we are living in. And we can see where that can be important, can't we? With the chaos in the world today. That God might need to, from time to time, tell us of things to come, that we might be aware, that we might be prepared for these things. The next one is admonition. An admonition is to warn, to caution, or reprove gently, to warn us. Caution us. or sometimes reprove us, guiding us. Let's look at Mosiah, chapter 11, verses 148 and 149. That's on page 285. And now all these things did Alma and his fellow laborers do, which were over the church, walking in all diligence, teaching the word of God in all things, suffering all manner of afflictions, being persecuted by all those who did not belong to the church of God. And they did admonish their brethren, and they were also admonished every one by the word of God, according to his sins, or to the sins which he had committed, being commanded of God to pray without ceasing and to give thanks in all things. So we see here that they were admonishing the people, weren't they? For things that they weren't doing right, for the sins in their lives. But also we see, it says that the scriptures admonish us also. They tell us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But sometimes, like prophecies, we need to be admonished. A certain group of people admonished for something they are doing at that time. And I know God will continue to do that. Continue to warn us so that we will be aware. The next one is revelation. And that's something revealed or disclosed, a manifestation. We have the book of Revelation, don't we? That Christ gave to John. And we won't read that today, but I'm sure you're all glad. A revelation of things to come. And I know that we will continue to have revelations, that God will continue to speak to us, continue to reveal things to us. Because this earth, this world, is continually changing. We continually see new things, don't we? New problems. New things that we have to deal with. And I know that God will continue to guide us and direct us on these things. The next one is dreams and visions. Another way that God communicates to us. A vision is an experience in which a personage, thing, or event appears vividly to the mind, although not actually present, and it's under divine influence. And a dream is a vision in sleep, in distinction from a waking vision. Turn over to 1 Nephi, chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. This is on page 4. And we know that Lehi had many dreams and visions, didn't he? Verse 24, "For behold, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto my father, yea, even in a dream, and saith unto him, Blessed art thou, Lehi, because of the things which thou hast done, and because thou hast been faithful, and declared unto the people the things which I commanded thee, behold, they seek to take away thy life. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded my father, even in a dream, that he should take his family and depart into the wilderness. And it came to pass that he was obedient unto the word of the Lord. Wherefore he did as the Lord commanded him. And it came to pass that he departed into the wilderness. God warned him in a dream, didn't he? He communicated to him in a spiritual dream something that he needed to do in his life, didn't he? That they needed to flee Jerusalem. And if they hadn't heeded that dream, very well could have been killed. He gave Lehi very clear communication, didn't he? Told him exactly what he needed to do. And he heeded that. In verse 29, and he left his house and the land of his inheritance, and his gold and his silver and his precious things, and took nothing with him, save it were his family and provisions and tents, and he departed into the wilderness. He was very obedient, wasn't he, to that dream? Left all that he had. Will that be required of us someday? Don't know. Possible. Would we be prepared to do that? Would we be prepared to pick up and leave? To leave everything behind? You know, God communicates to us in all these different ways. He warns us, tells us things we should do, tells us things we shouldn't do. But he doesn't make us, does he? He doesn't make us do the things that he tells us to. He has his own, or we have our own free will. He didn't force Lehi to pick up and move. But Lehi followed after what he was told. And I think as time goes on, God will continue to communicate with us. He does it on a regular basis with the scriptures that we have to read, preaching, teaching. But I think in the future, we will see some many miraculous things. Some things that we haven't seen for maybe in our lifetime. But we read about them. We read about these miraculous things, these miraculous ways that God communicated to his people. And I think we will see those again. You know, God's always trying to communicate to us. He always is. Trying to lead us and guide us. But you know, it's our duty. It's our duty to listen to that voice. To listen to that still small voice and to follow after it. You know, we need to continually pray to God. Continually pray our communication to Him. Asking Him for guidance and direction. And always have our minds open to what He has for us. And what He wants us to do in our lives. Thank you.